Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible today, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. I know it's been a few months since we finished chapter 7, but it's good to be back studying this wonderful book. Matthew chapter 8, reading verse 1 through 4. Obviously, speaking of Jesus, it says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Heavenly Father, once again, it's a privilege to be in your presence. And I'm asking, Lord, for a touch from heaven to preach what I believe that you have for us today. Please enable me. Please touch my mind, strengthen my understanding of the text, and by your Holy Spirit, please anoint me so that somehow I can reach the heart. And Father, to that end, I pray that you would touch the hearts. And I pray that somehow the people would receive Jesus. Whatever their need is, I know he's the answer. Whatever their difficulty, whatever their struggle, if they're sick in their body or confused in their mind or whatever, I know that Jesus is the answer, and I pray that he would be seen and that they would receive hope. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. But before I get into this text, I want to back up two verses. We studied the Sermon on the Mount. But these last two verses of chapter 7, the last two verses of, actually it's after the Sermon on the Mount, it says, verse 28 and 29 of chapter 7, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Now the thing on the surface here that he taught them with authority and not as the scribes. The scribes, it said, that they were the great arguers. They would quibble over this and that, and they were not really able to give you a definitive answer from the scriptures, from the Old Testament. They would say, well, Moses said this, but over here Joshua said that and King David said that, and so we're really not sure. But Jesus didn't quibble about it. He taught the Word of God. He explained the Old Testament. He explained his doctrine, what have you. And he didn't have any wiggle room. He didn't quibble about it. He knew what was right, and he said what was right, and that was that. But going beyond the obvious, later on as we study, when Jesus taught or prayed for folks and they were healed or what have you, they were astonished at times his power. The power of the Holy Spirit was upon him so strongly that the people were astonished. They marveled. They couldn't believe what they saw and sensed and felt. They couldn't believe it. Sometimes some of the miracles he did were so astounding that the people, knowing that they were going to be healed when they went, were still astonished at the greatness of the miracles. But this time, in the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't heal anyone there. He healed folks before he got there. And after, as he comes down the mount, he heals people. But it was just his doctrine, his speaking, his preaching, teaching, what have you, that they were astonished because of, again, the power of God and the things that he said. But it says he taught as one having authority. Well, what's Christ's authority? Well, first off, he's Emmanuel, God with us, God come in the flesh. You can't get any more authoritative than having God come down and explain a passage of Scripture to you. I mean, you can go back and say, well, my church taught me that, or this guy on the radio said that. You can quibble if you want, but I mean, honestly, the buck stops with Christ. He's God come in the flesh. Another thing to consider is that Matthew presents, and I've said this before, Jesus coming as the King of Israel to his kingdom to take account. Again, he's the king. He comes, he shows up, the buck stops with him. But Christ is also presented as a lawgiver. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, one of the great prophecies of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that would come, it says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Now it says that great multitudes followed him, and we see that all over the Gospels, that many people followed him. And I believe that this is a fulfillment, or at least a partial fulfillment, of this prophecy here in Genesis chapter 49, that unto Christ shall the gathering of the people be. We understand that its complete fulfillment is during the millennium period when Christ returns and Zechariah is fulfilled, where it says that they accepted him, the one with the wounds in his hands and feet. The Jews will finally accept the Messiah. But again, he spoke with authority. And that's fantastic. We can read it and we can enjoy what he spoke with authority. But in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, "He called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." And if we'll obey the word of God, if we'll walk in it and not explain it away or make excuses for it and say, "Well, brother, you know, and I've got all these excuses why it's not true," and what have you. If we'll forget all of that and just do what it says, if we obey the Great Commission, we'll have his power, we'll have his authority. And when we preach the truth, when we lift up Jesus Christ and magnify him and tell others about what he did, as it's recorded in Scripture, that same authority that Christ preached with, we can also preach with. Again, it's not us. We're nothing. We're like the flea in the elephant's ear that said, "Man, didn't we shake that bridge?" We're just the flea, but Christ is the great elephant. He's the one that shakes the bridge. He's the one that heals. He's the one that forgives sin. He's the one that can put your life back together as you turn your life over to him. If you're caught up in drug addiction, he can break that power and make you a new man and set you free. And you can stand up and you don't have to go to no meeting and said, "My name's so-and-so, I used to be a drug addict, or I used to be an alcoholic, or I used to be caught up in this or that, but Jesus Christ set me free." And again, we have his authority as Christians and ministers of the gospel to preach in his authority. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Again, he helps us to fulfill the Great Commission. But Pilate, he asked, "What is truth?" He was mocking, but in John chapter 18, verse 37 and 38, Pilate said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king? To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find no fault at all." Jesus was innocent of all charges. We understand that. He was grilled by Pilate, the one in charge, and Pilate wanted to let him go. And we know this story, and that's a different sermon. I don't want to preach it today. But John chapter 17, verse 17 says in Jesus' pastoral prayer, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." You want to know what truth is? Open your Bible. It's not what they say on TV. It's not what the politician said. It's not whatever. The word of God is truth. The word of God will not lead you wrong. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, there's objective truth. It's true because it's true. It's not true because the wind is blowing the right way. It's not true because this is what we believe in our denomination, brother. It's not true because, well, it's what they've been doing for 10 years. I mean, haven't you seen the TV and the internet and YouTube and whatever? No, it's true because it's true. Objective truth. True regardless. But if you follow fads and you follow the popular teachers on television and whatever, you may have subjective truth. It's subject to change. What have you? Thy word is truth. But let's go ahead and get into the text. I've read it. I'll just comment on the first four verses of Matthew chapter 8. It says, "Great multitudes followed him." And I talked about that a little bit. Everywhere he went, great multitudes followed him. There was a time later on in his ministry where the crowds began to thin out a little bit. But the fact is, great multitudes followed him. John 12, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." That's our job, to lift him up, to tell others about him, and he will draw all men unto himself. Not brother so-and-so, or prophet so-and-so, or apostle so-and-so is going to draw all kind of men unto him. But, you know, unfortunately, that's what happens. You get on TV, you preach the right message, you can make a lot of friends and get a lot of money. But that's not the gospel. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. It's Christ that we preach, not ourselves, as Paul said. But there's the leper that was cleansed. You say, what's a leper? Well, you have to go to Leviticus and study, I guess, a bit. It's a medical condition. It's some kind of bacteria or whatever it was, and they finally healed it some decades ago. Just upriver between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, there's a leprosarium that some people still live there, but today that is a cured disease. But again, that's only just a few decades. We've had thousands of years of people with leprosy. It was incurable, except God cured. Remember Naaman the leper, he was cured. Well, this leper came and worshipped him, fell down at his feet and said, "Lord, will you make me clean?" But Christ's answer was, "Well, let me think about it." Or, "Have you paid your tithe? Been praying enough, what have you? I hadn't seen you in church in a while. You think I ought to do this for you?" No. "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the immediate answer was, "I will be thou clean." It's God's will that we be healed. It's God's will that we be delivered from drugs. It's God's will that we be saved, etc. He didn't have to think about it. You don't have to think about it. It's God's will that goodness would come to you. But he said, go to the priests for a testimony unto them. You need to understand that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Every prophecy, every jot and tittle of the law would have you, he fulfilled, he said. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. The priests, the Levites, what have you, they handled the things in the temple every day. That was their job. And Christ came along and fulfilled all of these prophecies. If they were to, on a certain day, make a certain offering, a certain way for this specific sin, they understood the intricacies of it, and they finally understood that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Go, show yourself to the priest for a testimony unto them. And whatever ordinances they have for you, Jesus said, go ahead and offer that sacrifice. And again, the priests would do exactly that. They would turn to the book of Leviticus, they would get it out, dust it off, maybe what have you, and read the passage. But it was their job, the priest's job, to discern what leprosy was and what it wasn't. Again, according to Leviticus, there were these tests, there were these observations they could make, and they could figure out what was leprosy and what wasn't, some other kind of disease or what have you. You see, the law, the Ten Commandments, and really the whole Old Testament, defines sin. We know that adultery is sin because the Bible tells us. We know that homosexuality is sin because the Bible tells us. We know that stealing is a sin because the Bible tells us. And leprosy was a symbol of sin. And the priests had to discern from the Word of God what was and wasn't sin. And you know, you can do the same thing. You can read the Word of God and you can know what is and isn't sin. And as a matter of fact, if you look into the mirror of the Word of God, it will show you things in your life that are not right. As you read it, as you perhaps hear it preached on the radio or at church or what have you, as you meditate on it, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and show you the thing you did last Friday night you shouldn't do again because it's a sin, for example. The law defines sin, but the Holy Spirit convicts of it. John chapter 16, I won't read the whole passage, verse 7 through 13, it says, when he is come, Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit that would come and did come on the day of Pentecost, he will reprove the world or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And the passage goes on, but it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict your heart. As you read the Word of God or hear it preached or what have you, it's the Holy Spirit that pricks your heart. That's His job, or one of them. And He will lead you to Christ if you will follow His leading. And another thing about sin, we should be wary of it. We shouldn't have anything to do with it. You know, when I got saved, first thing I realized is, you know what? I don't have to go back to the bar. There's nothing there. I didn't lose nothing in no bar. Don't got to go back. Praise God. Praise God. He changed my life, and He'll change yours if you let Him. I know there's places I can't go, things I can't say, jokes I can't be a part of, a lifestyle I just don't want to have anything to do with. Praise God. I want to be with the Lord. I want to do what makes Him happy. I want to think on these things, Philippians says. I don't want to have anything to do with sin, and that should be your watchword, to be wary of sin. But he says, to finish this out, and this is a strange passage, he says, see thou tell no man. Go to the priest, what have you, do what they say, but don't tell anybody on the way. Now, you would say, preacher, I don't understand. I mean, the man was healed. Why can't he tell somebody, hey, you know, I've been healed? Well, he got around to that, I'm sure. But you will find this a number of times in the Gospels, where Jesus would heal someone, he would be very gracious to them, speak to them, what have you. Say, for instance, to the woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." He would do all of these wonderful works, but sometimes you'll find him saying, "But don't tell nobody." I mean, if God heals me, I'm going to shout it from the housetops. But he said, "Don't tell anybody." Not every time, but you'll find it more than once that he said, just, you know, "Be happy that I healed you, but just go on. Keep your mouth shut." Now, it's my job as a preacher to be as loud as I can about what Jesus did. But why wasn't he loud about what he did? Why didn't he blow his own horn, let's say? Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 through 4. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, till he bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass." This is a prophecy of Jesus riding into Jerusalem 4 days before he was crucified. The king coming to his kingdom suddenly. He didn't come with chariots. He didn't come with a great army. He didn't come in a parade. He didn't come blowing trumpets before him. He didn't ride in on a stallion. He rode in on a donkey. How embarrassing, honestly. But you see, he's lowly. He's lowly. He's just, and he has salvation, but he's lowly. He doesn't blow his own horn. Now, he's the Savior. He's God come in the flesh. If anybody had a right to say, "Hey, look at me," he certainly had it, but he didn't. He didn't. He pointed people to the Word of God and hoped that they make their own decision, and many, many, many did. And you'll find once or twice that he admitted who he was. But for the most part, he kept his mouth shut. He did a lot of things. He preached a number of great sermons. Everywhere he went, he healed hundreds, thousands at a time. But he didn't blow his own horn. Contrast that with the preachers on the radio. It's all you hear them talk about is themselves. It's quite a difference. But it's my prayer that preachers today would begin to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Lift him up. Tell others about him. Preach the Word of God. But don't refer to themselves. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.